It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Fritz is off today. I can say Fritz off, not the other way I
Thank
said
you.
It. He will be back tomorrow. Fritz off, not Jack. Fritz off. Joining us now, he hosts Middays at WFAN with Brandon Tierney, BT, and Sal. Sal Licata, the biggest Mets fan I know. Sal, thank you for joining us.
You know, who put that crappy BT and Sal show together anyway?
Some idiot. I heard he got fired. He got run out of town. Ruined WFAN. That was the rumor I heard.
What's going on, guys?
By the way, what's up, Sal? By the way, Sal, anytime you guys do anything that make everyone mad, I get tweets that I ruin the station. And I'm always like, I've been gone for a year and a half. Let me live, you know?
Yeah, you told BT to say that Juan Soto's not 26. I'm
yes.
Sure.
Yeah, that was me. I texted him. I was like, BT, you know what's going to go over well? Use the line about him not looking, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I wanted to ask you this. So Joe Giglio, our midday host today, proclaimed the National League East over.
And,
right.
Yeah, that makes you happy.
Well, Sal once proclaimed the National League East over, and it didn't work. So do you have any, you know, advice for Joe on how to handle the next 6 weeks?
Dude, God bless, man. You better pray that the Phillies hold on and win the division. Now, I did a little prematurely. I mean, I did mine in May. So,
yes.
Joe, if you really want to do something, go out on a limb. Everybody knows it's over now. 7 games out, 32 games to play. Like, come on. Even BT could have said that, Joe.
Right.
Wow. But if they blow that one, then Joe's at big. Shut off your mentions, delete social media, because you're going to need a while.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, Sal proclaimed the NL East over a couple years ago in May. The Braves came back and won the division. I believe the Braves mentioned it in the locker room afterwards, and Mets fans blamed Sal, still probably blame you for blowing that division that year.
Yeah, and I can't do anything or say anything about the NL East without that being referenced 3 years ago. I take more blame than Billy Epler and the Mets themselves for putting together that crappy team that choked it away. That I'm the one who gets blamed, not Pete Alonso, me.
Yep. Sal, yeah, it's still a big series. The Mets still in, you know, still. I know you said you think the division's over, but still wild card contenders. Now they have not played well in months. If you were to give us a big picture, you know, analysis of what's wrong with the Mets?
God, man, I think it's the starting pitching first and foremost. The inconsistencies with the two guys you're going to see first in the series with Senga and Minaya. It's hard to believe because last year I thought the Mets weren't a very good team, and then they do what they did, barely making the playoffs, going on a run. This year, I fully believe they're loaded talent-wise. Now, you could say there's inconsistencies throughout the sport, certainly with them, but I mean, with Soto, Alonso, Lindor, that should be enough to carry a lineup. Their bullpen, the additions that they made at the deadline. So I think they're a talented team that still can be dangerous. But I would say that overall, the biggest culprit probably in this brutal stretch here is the starting pitching.
Sal Licata with us of WFAN in New York. What has been the temperature with fans? I only see it from online, but like this was supposed to be a year, and especially the way it started out. Have people turned on them? Are they mad? Are they worried? Like, where is the fan sentiment?
Here's all you need to know. I have become the voice of reason. I have become the rational one. So fans are going nuts with all those expectations, ripping Soto, ripping everybody else. Season's over. Team is dead. Where I have to talk everybody back off the ledge, saying, like, hey, you know, it's not that you don't want to win the division, but just get in and anything is possible. But I think it is mostly negative where the fans are frustrated with the team, who has been bad really since April. I mean, you could go back to any benchmark. You want to go to June 13th, they've been one of the worst teams in the league. After April, they've been around a 500 team or under 500. So by a lot of measurements, they have not played good baseball for a long time. But I still do believe, just like the Phillies did a couple years ago, or the Diamondbacks, or any other team over the last 30 years that has struggled, once they get in, can be dangerous. I still do believe that with the Mets, but I think their fans overall are disappointed the way that things have gone the last 3 months or so.
Has the feeling turned for Juan Soto yet?
There's the nickname Juan Solo, which
right.
I don't like because the majority of his home runs have been solo. I would nickname him Juan 100 because everything the guy does, you get 100 walks. 100 runs scored, obviously over 100 hits. I still think he'd get 100 ribbies, even though he's at 70-something now, but 32 games to go. So,
I think he's put on 100 pounds since last year.
That's a good one. But yeah, so remember, I was the first one to rip Juan Soto. We talked about that.
You guys, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, after 20 games, he wasn't. So I saw this coming 20 games in, like, wait a second, this isn't the guy, because he hasn't been hitting in the clutch. So fans have been frustrated with him, but you got to think about it this way. I mean, we're talking about a bad year, a down year. He's got 32 home runs.
Yes.
You know, he's still impactful, again, leading the league in walks. So has he been everything that we expected? Probably not yet, but that could change in one postseason or even in a series like this against the Phillies.
But he's still young, man. 26 years old, man. A lot of baseball left to play.
Some depends on who you ask, right? So. You brought it up. I'm always interested on the outside perspective of the Phillies. So when you look at the Phillies, what do you see? They have a great record, and they've been much better after the break than they were last year. That said, it hasn't felt this year like they're some sort of dominant team. So what is the New York Met fan perspective of the Phillies right now?
Couple of things. I think after last year, where I thought the Phillies clearly were superior to the Mets, and then the Mets disposed of them in four in the division series, makes me not fear them. However, I've been watching them a little more closely in the last couple of weeks, scoreboard watching, hoping to keep the division alive, and they're just better. I mean, Real Muto, a stud, a proven stud. I know he's not having a great year. Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, you know, it's Kyle Schwarber having an MVP-type year, so I don't need to go over all the names, but I think that they're good. I think that they're better than the Mets. They've been more consistent, the pitching as well. Here's where I really respect the Phillies. They didn't go into the trade deadline saying, let's protect the future and not give up assets, but try to improve our team. They went in and said, we have a need. Here's the best guy in Duran. Let's go get him. So they gave up more, sure, but it wasn't one of these, oh, they didn't give up a lot but improved their club. It was, yeah, it hurt. They gave up the number three prospect or whatever it was in their system, but they also got the best guy. Look at what Helsley's done with the Mets. He's stunk. So the Mets were like, Mets and Yankees both, oh, yeah, we improved the club but kept all our prospects and saved some money. I'd rather do what the Phillies did, go more all in and get the better player, and you see what that's done.
You know, it's funny the perspective you get, because we were mad they didn't trade more young guys. If you can believe that, like and I think it was because there were a lot of rumors about Stephen Kwan and the inconsistency of the Phillies lineup. It's funny to hear you say that. It's a nice sort of reality check and perspective, because we were like, should have given up Painter, you know, or Aiden Miller or something like that. So it is an interesting perspective that you think the Phillies went sort of all in. And I do think they got the best closer at the deadline.
Well, in comparison to the Mets and Yanks, where they kind of half-assed it. Yeah, Bednar is good. Helsley's a good arm. But the key takeaway was always, well, they didn't give up much to get these guys. Clearly, if you put them all on a line, who do you want? Duran, Bednar, or Helsley? I mean, obviously the answer is Duran. So it doesn't matter the value, at least to me. If you got to give up more to get the best player, you do it because you're trying to win. So you could always want more. I understand that aspect too, but at least the Phillies did more than the Mets did.
Sal Licata, WFAN, with us right now.
I'm just going to say, how's the city feeling about this series? I'm, you know, seven games down. You can't make up more ground than facing a team head-to-head, so this is a great opportunity for the Mets. I'm just wondering, what's the atmosphere going to be like in Citi Field tonight for this matchup, in this series?
I still think it'll be an electric atmosphere. I think yesterday's loss hurt the Mets. I mean, they had a stretch of 12 games where they were playing the Nationals and Braves the majority of those games. And go figure, they beat the Mariners, the one tough team, 2 out of 3. And they squandered an opportunity. I think they went 6-6 over those 12. They needed to go 9-3, 8-4. Even if they won yesterday and have this be a six-game deficit with still 7 left against the Phillies, you can make an argument. So I think yesterday's loss against Atlanta and the Phillies winning 7 games back with 32 to play is tough. So there's still, like you said, the expectation of the playoffs. So I expect it to be an electric crowd. It's been a tough ticket, at least from my account in New York. I know you can probably get them cheap, but you know, as far as getting freebies or easy ones, I think that that's a little difficult for this particular series. But the division race, everybody kind of feels like it's over. It would take a miracle, starting with a sweep, and even then, it would still take a miracle for the Mets to win the division.
Tough ticket. There are thousands of tickets available for less than $18, Sal. What are we talking about?
Maybe in the uppers. Who wants to sit in the uppers? Not me.
Might be electric with Phillies fans in there. Come on, man. Who wants to go all the way out to that stadium? Final thing, Sal. You were a big Steve Cohen guy, King Cohen. I imagine you're Stearns guy, right? Your general manager. Have you lost any faith in either of those guys?
Yeah, not Cohen. I still believe in King Cohen, but Stearns is going to be the first one. I don't want to say on the chopping block. That's obviously too extreme. But he built this pitching staff, which I felt wasn't good enough coming in. Had to give him the benefit of the doubt because of the success they had last year. But also, again, the deadline where it's like, yeah, that's nice, but you didn't go all the way in. And we'll see what he does in another big offseason, whether it's Alonso or others. I don't believe David Stearns has the aggression that is needed in New York. He's just like everybody else where they try to be too smart and win the deal and halfway things and get value deals. And ultimately, that's going to come back to bite them when you have other teams that are more aggressive. So I respect the intelligence. I don't respect the lack of aggression. And if they fall short, and they're going to already fall short of the division, that's strike one. If they don't win the World Series, and that doesn't look like that's going to happen, that's a problem here. This is supposed to be a World Series winning team. So he's got to build it to that, not patience and developing the young guys. Don't care about that. We want a World Series win. So Stearns, to me, would be one of the first guys up to take the blame if they fall short.
Well, there is Sal Licata. You can hear him, BT and Sal, midday as a WFAN. I got to tell you, Sal, I started feeling this when I lived there, and now more as I don't live there. I hate Met fans more than I think any fan. They're the worst combination. You know, Knicks fans are annoying, but they sort of remind me of Eagles fans a little bit. Mets fans are the biggest combination of, like, whiny and loud and awkward. It's a really bad group.
Well, that's what happens if you blame the fan base of the team cheating at home. I mean, you're going to get that blowback that you got. Right,
I didn't
here.
Say they were cheating. I just was asking questions. I was asking questions.
By the way, I wish they were cheating. I mean, maybe they wouldn't lose to the Nationals of Braves.
All right, Sal. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, Sal.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Sal Licata. You know, it's funny hearing him criticize David Stearns as wanting to win the deal, not going in enough at the deadline. They sound exactly like the criticisms I had of Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, well, we wanted a little more done, and they're looking at it like, well, hell, at least the Phillies did that. We couldn't even do that.
Yes, and by the way, watching Duran, and I know we blew a save over the weekend, but...
as soon as Fritz said...
said he wasn't going to blow a save? Oh, yeah. He was locking it up. We both looked at him. Yeah. What are you saying?
Yeah.
That night...
It happened that night.
That night, he blows a save.
Yeah.
And it was like... The thing about Duran is that is interesting, because you see a guy out there that throws 103, and you assume he's striking everybody out, but that's not really his game. He pitches to contact. He gets a lot of ground balls. It really was, I don't want to say bad luck. There was some bad luck in both of those appearances. But watching him.
He got hit a couple times Saturday, too.
Yeah.
They got out of it.
Yeah, but it was like, again, they weren't hitting. But like our other relief pitchers, when they hit Strom, the ball goes 600 feet.
Yeah.
When they hit Robertson, the ball goes 600 feet. When they hit Romano... The ball goes 800 feet. When they hit Duran, it's a hit them where they ain't kind of situation. But watching him, I do appreciate the deadline more that he is the guy that they got, because there were a lot of relievers available.
Yep.
And he seems so far like he is the best.
The best
one.
Of the bunch.
Yep. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers. Online at marks-jewelers.com. All right, Ike, let's see if you can predict the response on this one. Do you think Jack will beat Joe in their 400-meter race tomorrow? Yes or no? What do you think the response is?
I got to think most people think Fritz is going to win. So I'll go with 68% Fritz.
Very close. 66.2%.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I was way off earlier today.
If we had taken this poll 2 months ago or 3 months ago,
it would have been higher.
It would have been 90% Fritz. The fact that 33% of people think Jack is going to lose in a foot race to Joe DeCamera?
Yeah. I wonder if, do people feel the longer the race, does it favor DeCamera? Because most people would know he's not going to win a sprint.
Yeah, I think a longer race doesn't favor.
So I don't know who it favors. I mean, that's what I would think, too.
And 400 meters is not... They're not running a marathon tomorrow.
It may feel like one to them.
Do we want to? All right, we all should put a number in here. The winning runner tomorrow. So it is quarter mile. So 2 minutes around the lap would be around the track would be an 8 minute mile. Ike, do you want to predict the time of the winner tomorrow? Of how long it took them to get around?
I'll go with. It's going to be more than 2 minutes. I'll go with, but it'll be less than 2:30. I'll go with 2:24.
That would be...
You think it's going to take 3 minutes?
No, I hope it's lower than 224.
Oh.
Justin looks shocked. Do you want to give...
It should be faster?
Do you want to give your number?
I mean, if you're a runner, like Jack claims to have been... At one point,
he
it should
ran.
Be faster.
Unless he's
okay, sure. He was a runner. He ran
back into the past. Like, yeah. Last time I saw him, I don't care what he says. He doesn't look like he's in shape to really sprint around.
No. He's been gliding off that down 20 everybody's talking about it for 8 months now.
I've seen him running at a nice pace.
Yeah.
And as long as he's ahead of the camera,
yeah.
I don't think he pushes himself.
That's a good point,
well,
too.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah. If he's far enough ahead, he's just run a win.
He's not going to push himself, yeah.
Yeah, I think that line that you just said is a good number. 225 over under that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I would hope under,
yeah.
But now Ike's making me think over. So I'll go over.
Over 225?
I'll go over, yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about two bums.
All right.
You are strong in there.
Yeah.
We had to cut his mic off.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say 211.
211?
Okay. 211. I'm going to say Jack wins at 211. And I will say that the camera comes in at
230.
236. 236. Which, by the way.
Does he finish running or does he? And when he realizes he's lost, does he just walk the rest of the way?
All right. You know me and how I am. If yes. he stops, I'm going to scream at him until he finishes. He better not stop. He better not stop. I'm a real problem at these things. I'm a real problem. And if
I'm glad you admit me.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm the total problem. I was a problem during baseball. I was a problem during golf.
Yep.
I was not really a problem during tennis because Jack was getting his ass kicked and we all had to stay quiet anyway.
Yeah, we just had to accept it.
Yeah,
yes.
But I will tell you this. If Jack wins and Joe stops running, I'm not going to be quiet. 215-592-9494. Cowboy Jim, you're on WIP. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Since I'll probably hang up on you guys at the end, losers, listen, a good gift is a year's worth of lawn care. That's a really good gift. Someone to cut your grass.
Who's giving gifts out like this?
What's wrong with a year's worth? It's only like maybe $300.
What lawn are you talking about?
Well, I'm not talking about your 10 acres, you know, out in the middle of Laurelton or something like that.
Well, first of all, he lives on an acre as well. I'm just saying, lawn care for a year, $300?
Yeah, that's what I say.
Nah.
Okay. No. All right, fine, whatever, Mr. I've got everything I needed in life. All right, listen, I'd like to report a disgruntled employee. That would be DeRozio, getting a little chesty on there as a producer.
Really?
All right, definitely.
On the air or off the air?
Both.
Off the air.
He said both.
When I call him on John Johnson, he's so sweet to me. He's so nice. Now all of a sudden, he's just yelling at me and trying to pick a fight with me.
I'm talking about Superman while we're on the phone. It's like, we got a show to do here.
Yeah,
That's probably why you missed OG Wade, because you're probably watching Superman for the fourth time, that horrible movie.
All right.
Good Lord.
Well, I think everybody's on edge when they produce this show because I'm a problem. And by the way, Justin, he got chesty with me, if you remember this, a month and a half ago. I've been doing this job for 2 years.
And you've been kind to me ever since. So a little bit of chest goes a long way.
Oh.
It does.
All right.
That's what she said.
What else do you have?
All right, listen. I'm sorry, OG Wade, but I have to do this. Ike, listen to me.
Yes.
What is it? Jalen is either a fraud or the NFL is a bad product. After watching Jerry Jones and that great Netflix series, I've learned one thing, that Troy Aikman is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He played up against the San Francisco 49ers, you know, Jerry Rice,
yep.
Steve Young,
yep.
He played against two of the greatest teams of all time with Brett Favre and the Packers in the NFC Championship game. Who did Jalen Hurts play in NFC Championship games? He played a rookie from Washington. He played against a running back, you know, with San Francisco. So don't sit here and tell me he's number 19. He's one of the greatest. So come on, how do you react to that? The NFL is just a bad product, and Jalen is part of it.
Wow.
Wow, what a weird...
What about your quarterback?
Weird complaint, yeah.
I'm not talking about my quarterback right now. I'm talking about this Jalen Hurts is the top five. He's this, he's that. We're just living in a different era right now where the NFL is just a bad product.
Well, I'm surprised that you know, you don't see the parallel between Jalen and Troy Aikman. Jalen can't control. Jalen can't control his opponents. All I'm simply saying is Troy was more known for being a winner than anything else.
Troy could have thrown it left-handed against the 49ers, who Jalen played, against the Washington Commanders, and they would have won. He played up against
That's not the point that I'm making.
Time.
That's not the point that I'm making, Cowboy Jim.
The point that I'm making is
that your quarterback, Troy Aikman, back then was less about stats and aesthetics and was more about winning. That's what he was labeled, a winner, a leader and a winner.
But he played against
About who he played against. I can't control that. Neither can Jalen. All I'm saying is Jalen is more known as being a winner than anything else, which is what Troy was pretty much known for. By the way, Jimmy Johnson loved him so much, he didn't even play him in the playoffs when he started the majority of the year.
Any quarterback would given a gift like that, having to play, you know, the Giants and then the 49ers with a backup quarterback. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. How many of those games did Troy put the team on his back and go win?
I don't know. Probably about a dozen.
He made one good throw. He made one great throw to Alvin Harper.
Third and one,
and he ran the slant for the touchdown.
There were hundreds of passes to Michael Irvin.
No, but I'm talking about they weren't close games.
There were hundreds of passes.
Emmitt Smith won those games. He did.
Against one of the greatest teams of all time.
Yes.
Did Jalen go up with one of the greatest teams of all time?
He didn't.
He beat the Chiefs. Now, he didn't beat the Chiefs. He didn't. Saquon Barkley and the
Chiefs. Guess
defense,
what? Troy Aikman won three Super Bowls. He was the MVP of one of them.
So what? But look what he did in the NFC
Championship. What do you mean, so what? That means other people on his team won the MVP. So how great was he in the Super Bowl?
On the NFC Championship games. Look what he did. Against a team that was so much better than the Cowboys. Look what he did.
Don't be upset. Jalen, we don't like it either. I hate even bringing it up, but it's the only true comparison I could find. He's like Troy Aikman. Jalen, Troy Aikman. They win.
No. Jalen Hurts against, say,
Telling me who is he going up against. All I'm telling you is Troy Aikman. And by the way, they dominated for 4 years. You didn't win squat after 95. You haven't even been back to the NFC Championship game in 30 years. So that whole dominating the 90s, that was like a 3 or 4 year. That was a 4 year run.
It was 4 years.
It was a 4 year run.
Okay. Well, hey, by the way, who was the Cowboy representative at the Fantasy Football Club?
We didn't have one.
We didn't do that. We didn't have a stupid cowboy representative.
Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous. Goodbye, losers.
All right. Well, that was an old school Cowboy Jim call.
Well, he wanted to keep poking at the Jalen thing until I had to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was, you know, it was.
Well, it wasn't going to be you that defended Jalen.
Well, it's better if it's you. Nobody cares if it's me. Nobody cares what I say at this point. They know what I think. Whatever. Seventh best quarterback in the NFL. 215-592-9494. Coming up next.
Well, that was probably Aikman during that time.
I think
probably probably top five, maybe.
Something like that. Yeah, right around top five.
Yeah.
And he won three Super Bowls.
He did.
And that team,
I agree.
And that team was the difference between that team and this Eagles team, or at least at this point, that Cowboys team was undoubtedly the most dominant team of that.
They should have won more.
Yeah, of that time period.
Yeah, they should have won more.
Coming up next, a very...
By the way,
well,
if you can stomach it, not a bad documentary.
Oh, the Netflix?
Yes.
Cowboys doc.
Not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. Watching the new Alien show. I don't watch a lot of shows, but it's good.
It's a nice watch if you got nothing else on. It's Netflix. They're about 45-minute episodes.
Okay.
So it kind of goes through it quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, Ike loves the Cowboys show.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yep. Coming up next, a really, 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 really upsetting thing I learned about a Philadelphia sports executive.
Uh-oh.
Really upsetting.
Executive?
Yes.
That's intriguing.
Yep. Coming up next, this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Phillies baseball back on your radio tonight. Phillies-Mets, huge series, first pitch, 7:15. Ike and I will have leading off for you at 6.
Awesome.
Friggin' Jack isn't here. We're working overtime for you here. It's going to be 30 minutes of Around the Horn. I can name a lot of Mets. I just want to say that. I know the jokes sort of write themselves, but a lot Around the Horn tonight. A lot Around the Horn. I mentioned before the break. So
yes.
I want to say that I don't want to narrow this down, but I will say a leading or a big Philadelphia sports team executive. Mm. I was informed and gained confirmation that this Philadelphia sports team executive goes to the restroom, uses the urinal, and does not wash his hands.
Huh?
Yes. And it's not just a one-off. I thought it might be a one-off. I did some investigating. Apparently, this person usually doesn't wash their hands while using the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Philadelphia executive, Philadelphia sports team executive.
Hold on.
Yes.
I got so many questions.
And
here.
I did some digging.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
God.
Well, okay. Well, let's put it this way.
Yes.
I was given a tip from a podcast listener who showed me his source, which seemed like a very reasonable source to me. And then I gained some confirmation earlier today from someone else who has other sources that also confirm that this person does not wash their hands when they use the urinal, a Philadelphia sports executive.
So we're obviously not going to say who it is.
I'm not going to say who it is.
I mean, we're not even giving hints.
I'm not going to give a hint.
Okay.
I will say this. I'm going to let the union off the hook. And I will say it is one of the four major teams.
Okay, that was the only thing I would have asked. I'll say, is it one of the big four?
It is one of the in no particular order, in one of the, I'll just go alphabetical order, Eagles, Flyers, Phillies, Sixers. It is one of those. Does not wash their hands. Now.
It's got to be a damn Philly.
I don't know. And here's the other thing I learned. Here's the other thing I learned.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if this changes at all.
Mm-hmm.
This person apparently carries around their own little bottle
hand
of
hand sanitizer.
Huh. Now, does not, the people in the bathroom did not see the hand sanitizer used, but the excuse given is that this person walks around with their own hand sanitizer. So
he's not washing his hands with soap and water. He's just using the
That's what they say. But to me, washing the hands is as much about a respect of those around you and the people that are in the restroom seeing you leave without washing your hands.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree, because I've been in bathrooms with other people, and
yes.
When you see people leave out of there without washing your hands, now I'm the type of person that I'll even say, damn, you ain't going to wash your hands, bro?
Oh, you call them out?
Oh, yeah.
Even if you don't know the person?
Yeah. What are they going to do to me? I mean, you can wash your hands and catch a two-piece. You can run up on me, and then you'd be in trouble.
Right.
So, now, granted, I pick and choose my opponents correctly.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
It's not a 6'5", 280-pound guy.
Yeah, you wouldn't pick Big Dom.
Right, yes. Yeah. I wouldn't say anything.
I'm not saying it's not Big Dom. It's not Big Dom. I just want to be very clear. It's not Big Dom. I know with his promotion, he would count as executive now. It is not Big Dom. I just want to get that out of the way.
Get that out of the way.
It's not Big Dom. I was just saying him as a big person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, somebody leaving a bathroom without washing their hands, yeah. I'd be like, damn, man, you ain't gonna wash your hands?
Yeah. It's just as a matter of respect. Yeah. And then you have to start thinking to yourself.
Yeah, we did Fritz.
To this day.
Yes.
And he, by the way, he's still only...
Still only water. I don't think it's soap.
Only water. And I really think he just wants the water to come out of the faucet so you can hear it.
Yes.
I think there's a chance he doesn't even put his hand in the water. but this is the question that I was wondering about this Philadelphia sports executive is if he is not washing his hands after number one...
Oh, God.
Then if he's committed to the hand sanitizer, then one would assume that even if he went into the stall and went number two, he would also not wash his hands.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know you're sanitizing. Unless you are walking up to everyone in that bathroom and saying, I'm using hand sanitizer, just do us the respect of washing your hands and then use the hand sanitizer.
Yeah, put some soap on there.
Yeah, what's your problem with using water and soap?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
an executive, huh?
An executive. Not a coach, an executive. So I want to get all of the coaches off the, but it's an executive. And I did some digging, and I am pretty confident in what I'm saying. Hmm. All right?
Yep.
All right. 215.
Make me sick.
I'm trying to figure out how do we address him. Yeah, but we can't.
Well, I could tell you off air.
You had to tell me off the air, yes.
I will tell you off air.
Okay.
DeRozio is dying to know who it is.
I have my suspicions of who it could be.
I got guess. I'm going to wait till I'm off the air to give you my guess.
I don't want to air.
Do you want to make it? And I'm not going to comment on it.
Okay.
Would you like to make your on-air guess?
I have two.
And I just want to be clear to everybody listening.
We're walking a tight rope.
Here's what I'm saying.
You're going to get my real opinion on people in a second.
No, here's what I'm saying. I want to be clear. I am not going to confirm or deny. So no matter what Justin says, right or wrong, I will not confirm or deny. All I'll say is, that's interesting that you think that. That will be my only reaction to
it. So my first thought was it could be Howie because he seems to me like he's a germ thing. He doesn't want to touch the public, the public sinks. But I've moved on from Howie. The fact that you've leaned into it and did some research leads me to believe that it's that slob Daryl Morey.
That is interesting that you think that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Do you want to guess? And I'll say that's interesting that you think that.
Well, I said either a Phillies or a Sixer.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking it's got to be a lot of games.
Yep.
So that's why I kind of erased the Eagles from it because you only get nine home games.
And if it's a recent thing, it would be someone who's active.
I'm not saying it's recent or not recent.
Okay.
But
it is.
I'm not saying it's recent or not recent.
Yeah. I am not going to throw names out there.
No. All right.
Because unlike Justin, I actually see these people at times.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, I actually see these people.
I don't got to worry about
times.
Running into Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
No, you do not.
Not even at the Crumble Cookie?
No, not even. You might run into a Crumble Cookie. Yeah, I don't know. Again, that's interesting that you think that. That is my response. I want to be clear, that was not a confirmation or a denial.
Okay.
215-592-9494. You know, guy always washes his hands. That's the Car Czar, John Ashton. 100% of the time. In fact, the bathrooms at the new Colonial Hyundai showroom are beautiful. There has simply never been a better time to go to Colonial Hyundai in Downingtown to get a brand new Hyundai. All of the different things that the Car Czar is doing to make it faster, easier, and better. 20% off every new Hyundai in stock. 20% off. That's a lot of money off. That is a good reason to head over to Colonial right now. And they're not pulling some funny business where they say, you know, 20% off any new Hyundai in stock and then there's nothing in stock. No, tons of brand new Hyundais on the lot, over 300. How about here's another reason, financing. You can get better financing at Colonial than anywhere else. 0% on a new Hyundai right now at Colonial. You think it's impossible? Not impossible. They're also going to give you more for your trade than anyone else, a guaranteed $6,500 no matter what condition it's in right now at Colonial. And you know, every brand new Hyundai from Colonial comes with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. And this month, in August, you will get donated to the Brandywine Valley SPCA, $100 for every vehicle sold from Colonial to the Brandywine Valley SPCA. So you're helping out some homeless pets. Run, race over to Colonial Hyundai, Route 30 in Downingtown, or online, colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. See website for details. 215-592-9494. Troy in the Northeast, you're on WIP.
Spike tonight. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Troy?
What up, Troy?
Yo, man, y'all cracked me up today, man, with this show. Listen.
Well, Spike's off the chain today, yeah. Spike's on another one today.
Let me tell you something, Spike, and I can vouch for this, man. What you just said about going to the bathroom and washing your hands, you know that's a non-UPS thing. A lot of non-UPS, you got to break it down to what I'm talking about when I say non-UPS. A lot of non-UPS guys don't wash their hands. And UPS guys like us call them out all the time. I say it all the time. Yo, man, you don't wash your hands, bro? You know what I mean? They just leave, and then they go shake somebody's hand. They do the same thing. They dig up their nose, and they do the same thing, bro. I'm telling you, it's disgusting. I can spend forever on it. But what I learned today also was Spike, you the little spoon, and your wife is the big spoon.
No, you know, it's not true.
You said you get the little teaspoon, and you said your wife used the regular size spoon.
Oh, but so yes. No, I want to be clear.
She's holding you. She's holding you at night.
No, I want to be real clear, Troy. She uses ahead, a small brother. Spoon. I use the big spoon. Not only do I use the big spoon, and she can tell you this, for when we got married, I said I wanted a giant spoon to eat cereal with, and I have a giant serving spoon. So don't you accuse me of being
the little spoon.
The contents of the spoon.
Yeah. I hope y'all rack that, man. That's hilarious. Listen, before I get on to my Eagles question, with this Joe the camera and Sprint thing tomorrow, y'all was talking about it's going to be short, right? And you also want to make it fair. Why don't you have them race different times? Like, when somebody race first, time that person, and then race the other person next and time them. That way it's a little bit longer.
Well, so I suggested this. And the problem is, first of all, it's less dramatic if they're not running at the same time. I think for entertainment purposes, it's way better if they're running at the same time. The second thing is, if we're timing it, there is opportunity for funny business. So I think
somebody would know what's going on.
Well, no, I mean, like then we're counting on somebody to hit the button the exact right time. I think I agree with you. I understand where you're coming from, but I think we need to see them racing each other, you know, for entertainment, you know?
Okay. I got you. My Eagles question is this, man, you know, we are a little over a week away from the game opener, the season opener. Who are you guys worried about the most with his injury? Is it not, I'm going to say who I am, and y'all tell me what y'all think. I think it's Smitty. I think he's the one that's the most most worried about. Yeah, Smitty, not coming back from injury on time. Everybody else, I think we could do without for a couple of weeks.
So did Smitty have a hamstring?
Yeah, he's got a hammy. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to last. They're saying it's not going to be long, but you never know with these things. You know what I mean?
It's hard for me to keep up with the practices, but he didn't practice. Didn't he practice last week?
No, remember, because we were going to talk to him the day we went to camp.
Oh, you're
and
right.
And remember, we didn't because of the injury. Right. Yep. So Smitty has a hamstring. AJ has a hamstring.
Yeah. Well, we saw AJ before the game, though. We saw him warming up.
He was warming up. Yeah.
He looked pretty full speed to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be worried about not having, but I'd be more worried about not having A.J. Brown. No offense to Devontae Smith.
I could do without the divaism for a little bit. You know what I mean? I love A.J. to death, but I could do without the
diva. Ah, you're out of a diva. Okay.
Hey, I'm just saying, man. Hey. Listen, for your question about the best housewarming gift, I'm going to tell you what I did, man. This knocks down so many pins with one roll. You get them a gift voucher or a dinner voucher for a local restaurant where they live at. That way, because they're not going to have time to eat, cook. Plus, they get out the house.
Yeah.
And they get to check out local spots and see what they like in the territory. You know what I mean?
That's a good one, Troy.
That's a good one.
I love you guys, man. I'll see y'all tomorrow, man.
All right, Troy. Thank you.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Now, just real quick, Ike and I'm not going to say who. Ike and I did receive a text message confirming my investigation.
What do you mean confirming your investigation? Just like that it was done?
That there is a Philadelphia sports executive that does not wash their hands after using the urinal.
Okay.
That's all. That's the only information I'm going to give out, but we did receive, you received confirmation via text message.
Yep.
So all that confirms is that someone doesn't do it. It's not just me. We do have independent confirmation here. You remember Tyler Phillips, right?
I do.
So we had Tyler Phillips on the show. Tyler Phillips was
he's our Bishop Eustace guy, right?
Yep. Yeah. And we nicknamed him Kill Mode because he said he was in kill mode on the air. He was actually really good on the air. He had a couple of really good starts from the Phillies.
He had a good 2-week run there, man.
He did. And then it all fell apart. He's pitching for the Marlins now. He's a relief pitcher. He's pitching pretty well. I mean, his ERA is right around 3. Okay. He's not striking out a lot of guys. He allows a bunch of hits, but he closed the game yesterday for the Marlins, and he did an interview after the game with the Marlins, field guy or whatever. Tyler Phillips seemed kind of intense when he was here. This is the most intense post game interview I've ever heard.
All right, Jack, thank you very much. Tyler, you threw 32 pitches yesterday. When did you know you were going in tonight?
When they called down.
And you were ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready. They called down, I'm pissed off, I'm ready to go.
Why do you get so pissed off?
I don't like hitters.
How did you get through that 9th?
Throw the ball over the plate.
How long does it take you to cool down after a win?
I never cool down.
And the slapping, what was the level of slapping when you came on?
Pretty hard, my face is hot. Yeah.
How important was it for your team to get this win today?
It's big. I mean, every win's big. That's, I mean, it doesn't matter what the record is. Everyone's big. That's what we're here for, is to try to win the game.
What has this organization helped you unlock for your career this year?
I think just be yourself. Go out there. Do what you. Whatever's going to make you successful, that's what you do. And this team, I see it. We're a lot of young guys, and when you play for each other, have some fun with it, that's what you got to do.
Great win. You're scaring me. Go to the clubhouse. Thank you very much.
So,
sideline reporter was honest.
Yeah. So what he said there about his face was hot is, yeah, if you watch the video, when, first of all, they gave him like a whole intro. They turned the lights off, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, everybody's doing, everybody's doing Deron.
He slapped his own face three or four times after he came out
like
of the
Saquon.
Bullpen.
Yep. Remember when Saquon was,
yes,
scored against the Rams?
Yes.
He was slapping himself.
Slapping his helmet.
Yeah.
But Tyler Phillips was slapping his own face,
yeah,
really hard.
Yeah.
That was a psychotic interview. I don't like hitters. I was pissed off.
Yeah, we didn't get that Tyler.
No. He's a psycho now. And we did get the other Philly stuff. We did get a message from Zach Wheeler afterwards. We got the news this
Shout
weekend.
Shout out to Zach.
Shout out to Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
We got the news that he's done for the season. I think we all pretty much thought that was going,
yeah,
to happen. But he said Zach Wheeler posted this on his Instagram, which, you know what? It's nice because you don't get a lot of emotion out of Zach Wheeler,
yeah,
generally.
Yeah.
He said, thank you for all the support this season. It means the world to me and my family. As many of you know, I'll be having surgery in the coming weeks, which means I'll miss the rest of the 2025 season. It's tough news, but I'm so grateful for all the love and well wishes I've already received. I'm locked in on the work ahead, and I can't wait to be back in 2026, ready to give everything I've got for this team and this city. Thanks for riding with us through it all, Zach Wheeler. So he has to have that thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. There's a few different versions of it, but the thing that I think is most likely, based on everything I've read, is the one where they replace, where they remove the top rib there, and it gives the veins and the vessels in there more space,
because
when most of what your arm is doing is over your head, it's sort of compacting that area, which is what causes the blood clot, I guess. So 6 to 8 months is the timeline they gave, which would have him ready, you know,
By the start of next year,
you know, anywhere from February to April, depending on how many months it is.
And they're going to take their time with him.
Of course.
They're not going to rush him back.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a lot of guys, there have been a lot of examples of baseball pitchers come back and get the surgery and return. Josh Beckett got it through a no-hitter the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Harvey had trouble afterwards. You know, depending on the pitcher, a lot of them seem to come back and are as effective as when they left. And you would hope that the problem that it's resolving will create sort of relief for him. But who knows how long this was going on,
sure,
you know, that he had that compression.
Yeah, so. And I wonder if it ultimately changes his outlook on how he wants to finish his career.
Oh, maybe we get more time out of him.
Maybe.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's losing this year, you
yeah.
know. I think that the struggle here with him and more time is, I mean, I hope baseball and the players are
season,
smart.
Yeah,
yeah, because we have a new CBA, a potential lockout coming in 27.
There's no doubt we're headed for a lockout. Those dudes, they love the lockout.
The players.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, baseball, I'm just
yes.
saying in general,
yes.
they always go to the lockout.
Well, and they have a...
They never get it done before.
Well, they have the... You have to give the players credit in that it's hard to cheer for, you know, oh, I'm making $50 million, whatever.
Yeah.
But they have a union that is... Very strong. They have
yeah.
a very strong union.
Unlike the NFL union.
Yes. who you can have a public report come
yeah.
out and say, they did, what's the word
they
I'm looking
colluded.
For? They did collusion. And everybody's like,
Lamar Jackson.
Well, whatever. When do we show up for camp? you know?
Right.
Yeah. So I just hope we don't lose the whole season.
The whole season, yes.
You know? I mean, it'll get ugly. They'll fight about it. It'll be weird. Like the last time it happened.
Yeah.
But hopefully we get a full season out.
It certainly is going to get shortened.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one thing I'll tell you, billionaires can't stand to lose money.
No.
And millionaires can't stand to lose money.
Yes.
So I would imagine they will get it together sooner rather than later.
Eventually.
But it usually goes into the lockout. They don't usually do it.
Before
they don't
the
get
lockout.
A deal done before the lockout.
That seems unlikely.
Yeah.
You know, given the fight.
Basically, given what happened when Manfred was in the
Manfred.
Clubhouse. Yeah.
yeah. Coming up next is the top 5-5. Jack isn't here. We have given Justin the go-ahead to do the top 5-5. Justin, what do we have coming up? What do we have to look forward to?
You have to look forward to the top 5 things that Jerry Jones has said in the last calendar year.
Okay. All right. A little audio.
Okay.
All right.
You don't like that idea?
No, I like it.
Okay.
I'll let you know afterwards.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. It certainly isn't, what did Fran do, the top 5 black people? Once,
black or? Athletes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He just took Chase Utley off the list.
Right.
No, he said the top black athletes of his time.
His lifetime, oh, yes. Yeah.
It was Black History Month.
Yeah, and didn't he pick guys that he hadn't even watched?
Oh, my God, that was the worst day.
Yeah.
That was the worst and best day.
Yeah. So top 5-5 is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.